John chapter number 13. We apologize for our voice being the way it is. We've had just an enormous amount of struggles since last Saturday with drainage and allergies, I guess, and then preaching on top of that. But the Lord can help us anyway. I found out this week again that it's not the volume of my voice that's critical. Amen. It's the whether or not the Spirit of God speaks. That's the issue. Monday night in the meeting, I couldn't hardly talk above a whisper. And I had the sound man to give me a little extra volume where I wouldn't have to exert or strain. And I never really got just way out there preaching, you know. I had to do what I don't like doing is holding back. But, you know, the Lord helped us and the Lord moved through that place and brought conviction and dealt with hearts, and I praise Him for it. And so I trust that you'll look over the raspiness this morning and pay attention to the message this morning. And I was keenly aware last Sunday morning before I preached and while I was preaching that I wasn't just preaching. I was keenly aware for the first time in a long time here that God was speaking in the pews like I had not seen Him do in quite some time. And that will help you more than anything. If all you hear is me, you'll forget it before you get in your car. But if God will say something to you, it'll be food for your soul. It'll help you this week, next week, and the week after, and so on. And pay attention to what God says to you. Never doubt in the dark what God said to you in the light. Amen. And so anyway, let's look in chapter 13. And I feel like this message is going to be a multiple part message. I was aware of that last Sunday while I was preaching that God had us on something here that was going to need some digging. Was going to need several services of our focus and our attention to really get what God wants for us to have. In John 13, we'll begin reading in verse number 31. The Bible says, "Therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him.'" And the Bible said in verse 32, "If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself and shall straightway glorify Him." Little children, now keep in mind, He's dealing with them based on His departure. He's letting them know the previous early verses in chapter 13, He talked about Judas and his betrayal. And in verse 31, it talked about that when He was gone out, when Judas had left and was gone to actually sell Christ out for 30 pieces of silver, He knew that it was His time. He knew the time was then. And several times through Jesus' earthly ministry, He'd say, "Mine hour is not yet come." But now He's saying it's time. It's time. Now is the Son of Man glorified and God glorified in Him. And so He's dealing with the disciples on the basis of His departure, that He's leaving them. He's going to an old rugged cross. He's going to be crucified. And that didn't set well with them. Did you know you can get in a shape to where the will of God don't set well with you? Do you know you can get in a shape this morning where the Word of God will cross you and you'll get upset and you won't like it? Did you know you can get there? And Jesus is dealing about the very purpose for which He came to this world was to go to an old rugged cross to bleed and die for our sin debt. And He's telling Peter and the disciples that. And look at their attitude as it's seen in these verses. Verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek Me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Mark those two words. It is the basis and thought of our message, this series of thought. He said, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now." You're to underline the word "now." "But thou shalt follow me afterwards." You're to underline the word "afterwards." Verse 37, Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Chapter 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We'll stop reading there. We won't be able to cover all these verses this morning, but let's bow for a moment of prayer. I do ask that you pray for us and with us, that the Lord will help us all here today. Father, we thank you for the reading of the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of the living God. Thank you today that you love us with an unstoppable, unchangeable, unalterable love. Thank you, Lord, your love for us cannot decrease nor increase. I want to thank you that you've not only stated it, but you've proven that you do love us. And Lord, we should never question or doubt that. You do care for our soul. We pray this morning that you'll take and guide our thoughts. I don't want to just fill up a little bit of space with words, but I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to say, God, what would come from your very heart. I pray this morning, God, that I would have, Lord, keen discernment, Lord, of the leadership and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm not here today to just repeat what somebody else is saying. But I feel that you have given us this message for such a time as this. And Lord, I do want to thank you for how you anointed the meeting last Sunday morning when we began in this message. Lord, how you walked among us and how you breathed on us and how you touched us. And oh, nothing will ever take the place of that. This world has nothing to offer that can, Lord, be a substitute or an alternative for the blessings and touch of God. Lord, our Father, but that was last week. We need a fresh touch from you. We need you to meet with us in a mighty way. Captivate our attention here this morning. And Lord, I'll pray that your will be done and our lives will be changed. Save sinners today. Stir our hearts. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, down in verse number 36, I think are key words that Peter should have gotten a hold of and the disciples should have gotten a hold of, and it would have helped them, but they didn't get it. And I believe, and I'm getting ahead of myself right here, but I believe the Lord wants me to go ahead and make the statement that a lot of our struggles in the now comes from just not getting what God says. I believe that. Amen. And we'll elaborate a little more on that further on. But verse 36, the question is, whether I go, thou canst not follow me now. but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And I want to emphasize the word now and the word afterwards. Sometimes we get so focused on the now that we never think much about the afterwards. Sometimes the devil tells us that all there is what's going on now. But God is not done yet. In fact, the very term afterwards lets us know that now is going to give way to something else. Now is going to give way to an afterwards. Amen. And I hope God will help us to get it in our soul. And before we continue on with that thought, I want to say this morning that that principle is seen in several areas in the Bible. It is seen in the area of sin. There's a now, and you better believe it, dear friend, there will be an afterwards. Right now, it may seem to be pleasurable, and it may seem to be joyful, and it may seem to be everything is going your way, but that's just now. The now's going to end. The now is going to give way to an after effect. I believe it's said very clearly in Hebrews 11. I believe it's in verse number 25 that where Moses said that there is pleasure in sin. Here it is, for a season. So that principle is seen tonight, this morning, in the area of sin. Oh, I want you to get that. You young people need to get that. We adult folk need to get that. That sin is never like it appears to be. The devil will make it look pretty. The devil will make it look attractive. The devil will make it look appealing. But he'll never show you the afterwards. He'll never show you the broken heart. He'll never show you the bleeding heart. He'll never show you the broken home. He'll never show you the children that are devastated and have given themselves to hopelessness and despair. He'll never show you that. All he'll show you is the party, but he'll never show you the pain. He'll show you the pleasure and try to convince you that it is a treasure, but you'll find out in the afterword of sin that it is a bankrupt and there's no pleasure anymore. I believe James chapter number 1 helps us to see that there is a now and an afterwards of sin. Now I want to tell you, friend, I didn't come up here to preach this morning. The Lord stirred my heart about this particular thought during Sunday school. So I know somebody here better get a hold of it this morning. James chapter number 1, listen to this passage of Scripture. Amen. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, bringeth forth death. Oh, that verse shows clearly that there's a now aspect of sin. And yes, there it might be a time of fun, and it may be a time of plenty of friends, but it's going to run out sometime in your life. It's going to play out on you, and it's going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you broken. It's going to leave you scarred. I want you to get the preacher's message this morning. Beware, there's an afterwards of sin that's coming in your life. The Bible says twice in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But get these words, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, listen, don't listen to the devil. Don't follow that lie of his. Oh no, he's a liar and the father of it. He'll never tell you the truth. But I will. The Holy Spirit will. God will. Amen. And anybody that cares about your soul will tell you the truth. Amen. There's a now and an afterwards of sin. And then there's a now and an afterwards of suffering. Oh yeah. Some of you going through it. And I did use the word accurately. I said through it. Meaning it's a passage only. And listen what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1. A book given, the book of Peter, 1 Peter is given, and 2 Peter as well, is given to those that are scattered and suffering. And here's what he said about the now and the afterwards. He just come through verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein that list he just gave. Those blessed heavenly glorious truths he just gave. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. There's the now of suffering. But the now of suffering is stated in this verse to only be a season. And a season comes and goes. Amen. And it goes right into verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, come on, we're fixing to step into the afterwards, whom having not seen you love, and though now, there's another now, hallelujah, that now, did you get that? Amen. Whom having not seen you love, though now you see him not, yet believing. You need to tell the devil you're believing in your now. Yet quitting's not an option in your now. Your now may hold heaviness. Your now may hold some hurts. And your now may hold some disappointments. But you need to serve notice. Hallelujah. I'm a going on. I love God anyhow. Though now we see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation. That's the afterward. So there is the now and the afterwards of sin, and the now and the afterwards of suffering. And you could run that thought through several other subjects in the Bible, including storms and so on and so forth. But I became interested when the Lord began to speak to my heart about this message. That word after got real big to me. And I mentioned this last week that there's phrases in the Bible that speaks to me, words that speak to me, such as the word afterward. After this, which is used 54 times. The word after these things, 15 times. And in fact, I like this statement, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. It may not have looked like it was going to. It may have looked like that you were stuck. It may have looked like you was bogged down. It may have looked like that was the end of it. But I want to tell you how that God says, and it came to pass. Amen. And it came to pass. Now I like this. There's several times in the Bible God just puts them all together and says, it came to pass after these things. I like that, don't you? Amen. Amen. So don't get so carried away with the this that you don't notice the word after. Don't get so distracted with this or these things or now that you don't see that there's an afterwards or an after these things. Oh yes, I believe God's wanting to help us. I believe the Lord's wanting to speak to us. I thought about Joseph. Oh, Joseph was a classic example as he looked in his life at the now, and he looked in his life at the these things, and none of it looked good, none of it looked promising, it was negative, it was all bad and in man's eyes. But you know what? Joseph had a word from God in his heart. God had told him what he was going to do, even though it didn't look like it was going to come to pass. It didn't look like there's ever going to be an afterwards. It never looked like it was going to be an after these things. But one day, guess what? God had him sitting on the throne just like he told him he was going to. Oh, yes. Amen. The word after means there's more to come. The word after means that God's not done yet. The word after means you've went through the this and the now. Oh, I can't help but recall something we stated last Sunday, how that many of us have been through things in our life that we thought, and the devil even told us, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going through this. You're going to die. This is going to be your spiritual grave. This is going to knock you down. This is going to knock you out. But I want to tell you what it ended up being was a promotion. It turned out to be a preparation. It turned out to just simply be a passage, because if God can bring you to it, God can bring you through it. Amen. I'm glad, hallelujah, there's not a Red Sea that can stop you. There's not a mountain that can stop you. There's not a giant that can stop you. I want to tell you, God's people, when they're walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, are invincible. I'll tell you, amen, the devil can't handle a spirit-filled child of God. Amen. Before the devil can ever beat you, he's got to get you backslid. Before the devil can ever whip you, he's got to turn you into a wimp and get you cold and get you distant and get you carnal. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, after. The word after, Brother Mark, identifies an order or a sequence. And that's what life is, isn't it? Life is nothing but one chapter, followed by another chapter, followed by another chapter. Life is about one step giving way to another step, followed by the next step. Life is about one day giving way to the next day, followed by another day. Life is about one week giving way to another week, the next week, and the week after, and so on. Life is about one month giving way to another month. Amen. And giving way to the next month. Amen. Life is about one year giving way to another year. Amen. And so on. I'm telling you, many of you would not be here today if the devil would have got his pleasure, if the devil would have fulfilled his will. I want to tell you, there's someone higher. There's someone bigger at work in your life. He's a guiding and he's working. He's a million miles ahead of the devil. Amen. And he's not going to let the devil outdo him. Oh, I still like the old Amazing Grace song that we sing so much. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. I want to deal with some new fresh stuff this morning. If the Lord will help me, I want to give you something here. This is simple, but I want you to get it. The Lord just told me to tell you this, and this is simple, and you'll miss it if you're not careful. The way you spell now is not E-N-D. The devil will spell that to you, that your now is spelled E-N-D. In other words, this is it. The jig's up for you. It's over with for you. I want to tell you, God can breathe hope in your life again. God can give you hope. Amen. Hallelujah. And encouragement. Yes, sir. Amen. I want you to notice this, and I want you to get this very clear. This is good stuff right here. Verse 31 and 33. There is the word now that appears in those verses. Do you see it? Now is the Son of Man glorified. Verse 33, yet a little while I am with you, and you shall seek me, and I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, both of those nows are God's nows. Then there's two other nows mentioned in this passage. verse number 36 and 37. You cannot follow me now. Verse number 37, Peter asked the question, why cannot I follow thee now? You have four nows in those verses. Two of those are God's nows, and the last two are our nows. The first two are divine. The second two are the difficult. The first two is what God is doing, and the second two is what we are dealing with. The first two, I want you to get this, what's good. Lord, give this to me. Last night praying, the first two nows has to do with God's appointment. It's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. The second two nails has to do with our disappointment. And I want you to get this statement right here. Both God's now and our now is going on at the same time. God had a providential plan in motion. God had something big going on. And on the other hand, we find Peter and the disciples struggling in the now. And I believe that I've got an explanation for that. I believe that one of the reasons was that they were failing to recognize God's now. They couldn't get a hold of God's now. They weren't interested in God's now. Well, you'd be surprised how many people wants to put God in their box. And they don't mind going to church and living for the Lord as long as the Lord is like a little puppy dog that follows them around and a little puppet on the string, amen. And a little Santa Claus God, you know, that they can just kind of call on once or twice a year and get whatever they want. Amen. I mean, it's possible to be disappointed right in the middle of some of God's divine appointments. It's possible to do that. You know, we read it last week, and I'm not going to go back and reread it, but you can make note of it. Chapter 6, verse 1 of John. Chapter 7, verse 1 of John. Chapter 21, verse 1 of John. The beginning verse of all three of those chapters says, and after these things. And it talked about then what Jesus did. And the Lord gave me a little thought last week to say to you and remind you of it today, that when those things comes in your life, God may be fixing to write another chapter in your life. God may be fixing to take you to another area and God's fixing to do something big in your life. But oh, listen, this God's now and our now, God's divine now and my difficult now is going on at the same time. Our disappointments many times are the result of viewing our problems without providence. We view our problems without what God's doing. Amen. I mean, when Jesus said, hey, it's time for the Son of Man to be glorified, you'd have thought Peter said, woo, glory. The price is going to be paid. Hallelujah. No, he had to poochie lip. Why? He wasn't worried about God's now. He is all concerned about his now. Isn't that the way we are? Isn't that the way we are? We get down. You know, I've never got down one time. Never been defeated one time. Never been discouraged one time over what God was doing. Amen. Never been discouraged one time over what God was doing. But I've sure been discouraged over what I thought he wasn't doing. Amen. Lord, you mean you're going somewhere and I can't go with you? You mean you're doing something and it's, amen, and you've got me in another phase of that plan? Yeah, we need to watch out for that. Our disappointments, maybe sometimes we view them, our circumstances without God. Sometimes we think that God is not working in our now, but he has an afterwards that's coming. Amen. It would help to think that know that God has a now that is in our now. I like that. God's a right now God. Y'all need to get that. God is a right now God. And he's God in your now. What's going on in your life right now? He's God. He's God. He's on the throne and he's got something going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Their problem was, amen, listen to this. I wrote it down like this. The problem was that their now became bigger and more important than God's now. Isn't that what happens to us? What's going on right now in my life a lot of times gets bigger and more important to me than what God's doing. Amen. That don't listen. A lot of things goes on in my now I don't have an explanation for. A lot of things goes on in your now I don't have an explanation for. I don't have all the answers. In fact, I know very few of the questions. But I know one thing. I choose to trust Him. Thank God for the girl singing that song, "You Can Trust Jesus," this morning. Which is bigger? Listen to the question this morning. Which is bigger in your life? The feelings of now or the facts of the afterward? Which is bigger in your life? The feelings now. How your emotions, your feelings now, what's going on in your life and how you feel about it. The feelings that it's putting in your life. Is that bigger than the facts of the afterward? All right, let's listen. Begin to look at this passage in light of our message thought. And I noticed something in chapter 14 and verse 1. Look at it. We're coming back into chapter 13 there and we're going to bring out some points here in a minute. But look at chapter 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." He was describing them in the now. Right now, what's going on in your life? You're troubled, you're agitated, you're aggravated, you're wounded, you're hurt, you're sad, you're down. "Let not your heart be troubled." And here he addresses the solution and the issue. "Ye believe in God." That's a statement. He said, you are believing in God, but at the same time, you are troubled in your heart. You believe in God and are troubled. There's folk in this building, and I've been there. We believe in God, but we get defeated. We believe in God, but we get down. We believe in God, but we get discouraged. Look what he went on to say. "Ye believe in God," that's a statement. "Believe also in me." The problem, the whole problem, listen, is summarized in that one statement. "Believe also in me." You know what the implication there is? You're not. You're believing in God, but you're not believing me when I speak. And Jesus is God. You're not believing me. That's why you're falling apart in the now. That's why you're all been out of shape, Peter. It's because you don't have confidence in me. Everybody that quits church has lost their confidence in the Lord. And we've all lost confidence at times in people. We've all been hurt by people. We've been all disappointed in people. One of my preacher friends that I preached one revival for several years ago, and he's never preached here, but I preached a meeting for him and been friends with him for years, not real close, but found out this week he fell into sin. Wrecked and ruined his ministry, blowed his home all to pieces, blowed his church all to pieces, been a pastor of that church probably 30 years or better. And just fell into sin. I thought about that. That disappointed me. That hurt me, Brother Brian. That one of my fellow comrades is out of the race. Now he's not helping no more. He's hurting. There's people probably going to get out of church over that. Are you listening? You better know there's going to be an afterwards of sin. We're back on that again. You may think you're not going to get caught. You may think you got it swept under the rug. But I want to tell you, God knows where your rug's at.
That's right.
Amen. God knows where it's at, and the Bible says, and you better never doubt it, be sure your sin will find you out. What he thought he had covered up for a long period of time surfaced. And that word sin finding you out means your sin will have a resurrection on you. You can't bury it deep enough, friend. It'll come out on you one day. It'll come out in your life. It'll be sticking up in your life saying, look what you've done. Amen. Sin loves to embarrass you. Cares nothing about your ministry. Cares nothing about your faith. Cares nothing about your church. Cares nothing about lost people. I'm talking about disappointment, friend. Believing in God and you can be disappointed. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. There has been a time or two I've been disappointed in God. Now, come on now. I know there's not a lick of spirituality to that, and there's nothing right about it. But I want to tell you, in my weakness, I have questioned God, why? Look at something from just my feeble point of view and say, God, why did you allow that? Or why did you not stop that? Or why did you not interrupt or intervene in that particular setting? I don't know. I don't know. I want to tell you, if the just live by explanations, we'd all be sunk. Amen. Because you'll never explain God. There's a lot of things that comes and goes in our life that we better just leave it alone. That we better just let it go and trust God and keep on going anyhow. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peter, that's your problem. You're not believing me. You don't have confidence in what I'm telling you. Peter was viewing what was going on as a setback. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm not going to preach all morning. But you listen to me. Peter was looking at what was going on in his life as a setback. Because really, Jesus and Peter and them had it all going on. They had it together. I mean, you think about Peter. His doctor was with him at all times. If you ever got hungry, all the Lord hath to do just speak, or find somebody with a little bag of lunch and feed multitudes with it, so he'd never have to worry about the hunger issue. Wouldn't never have to worry about nothing. I mean, there he was. One time they was needing tax money, and Jesus just said, go down there and go fishing, and that fish you catch, he'll have the tax money in his mouth. Peter kind of had a good thing going, didn't he? And then all of a sudden, his walking grocery store and his walking hospital, amen, and his walking, help me, whatever I need person was now telling him, I'm leaving. I'm going to be gone. I'm going away. And not only that, where I'm going, that you can't come. Peter, you're not listening. Peter looked at it as a setback. But here, and many of you may be looking at what's going on in your life as a setback. Amen. But it might just be a setup. It might just be a setup. Amen. Many times God allows what appears to be a setback to be a setup for a comeback. Somebody, we need to get that. We need to get that. You need to tell the devil, my valley's just a setup for a comeback. You need to tell the devil that my hard times is not going to take me down. It's going to take me on. Amen. Quitting is not an option. There's folks sitting in this building today. You're going through it. I mean, your life in many areas are upside down, hurt on every side, but you're faithful to the house of God. You've got God's will on your mind. And you're blessing me, I'll just tell you, you are. Let me give you this. Now, we're now kind of about through with our introduction. This thing's got big in my heart. And boy, the Lord showed me this right here, Brother Clipper. I about had a spell. How many in here has been blessed by John chapter 14? It's been used, Brother Brooks, at the bedside, funerals, Just every day, just devotion, needing encouragement, John 14. But you know what John 14 was all about? John 14 was all about addressing the now that Peter and them was going through. Brother Tim, you get that, you're liable to say, "Woo!" You're liable to get happy. In other words, when God said, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house, or many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know in the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "How can we know the way?" Are you listening? All of chapter 14 is written and spoken of the Lord to deal with Peter and them in their now. And boy, you look at chapter 14 in that light, it brings out a whole new meaning. But let me give you this right here real quick. Let me look right here. Yeah, I got a minute or two. Number one, everybody say number one. After two services, we're to number one. I don't care. I hope this thing goes for several services. Amen. I believe God's wanting to help us in the now to know that there's an afterwards coming. Amen. Hey, I can't always shout about my now, but I can always shout about the God that is in my now. Amen. I can't shall have my response and my reactions to the now, because many times I drop the ball and I get defeated and discouraged and distracted and depressed. But I'll tell you what, I can, if I'm looking at Him and realize His now is in my now, and His now is more important than my now. Amen. His now includes my now. But let me give you this. Number one, the remedy of faith. Y'all was waiting on something big, wasn't you? The whole issue is addressed in that latter part of this verse 1 when He said, "Believe also in me." Peter, the reason you're in the shape you're in is because you don't have faith. Peter, the reason you're thinking about quitting and throwing in the towel, and you think really, hey, you know really Peter thought that Jesus was doing wrong? If you could have took everything Peter said and summarized it, it was like, "Lord, you're not doing me right."
Come on, preacher.
Huh? I mean, after all, Lord, I'd go all the way with you. I'd die for you. Now look at you. You're leaving us. Before you can ever get crossed up with the Lord, the devil's got to convince you that God has messed up. The remedy, are y'all listening? The remedy of faith. Here we go. You got your pencil and your pain pill. I want to give you a few things right here quickly of what's addressed by this remedy. In other words, Peter, if you would have believed me, how many times did Jesus tell Peter through the Gospels, "Peter, this is why I come. Listen, this is what I come for." He heard it, but he never got it. In fact, you know, here's something I still can't get a hold of. Did you know that many of the disciples really never believed in Him until after the resurrection? They heard His messages. They saw His miracles. And my friend, they eat of the loaves and the fishes and they all of that, but still they didn't believe in Him until after the resurrection. Isn't that about the way we are? He does everything, miracles, and sends messages and everything, and we still doubt Him on every hand. But watch this right here. The remedy. Here's one thing that's addressed and would be cured, would be fixed if we had faith and confidence in the Lord. Verse 34 and 35. Now I'm just going to hit some of these. Verse 34 and 35. You know what He said by this? Verse 34 and 35, when He said, "A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you love also one another." You know what He was saying? Why was He putting that word right there? Why was He putting 34 and 35 right here as He's talking about leaving? Because he knew that in his absence, the disciples would fall out with each other. He knew that there would be division. That's the first thing. The first thing that is corrected is the danger of division. I'm going away, Peter, but I want to tell you, y'all better love one another. You better love one another, Peter, even as I have loved you. Why was he telling that? Because he knew that if your heart gets heavy, you get trouble in heart. I'll tell you, you're going to fall out with somebody if you're not careful. Amen. So there is the danger of division that is addressed here. And listen, let me give this to you right quick. And I'm going on. You better watch out in your now. What's going on in your life now? You better watch out, ladies and gentlemen, that it don't cause you to fall out with some of the very people you love. What's going on in your life right now, if you're not careful, will make you bitter and mean-spirited and hateful. I deal with it all the time. I dealt with it this week with folk that came to me personally in that meeting that's just plain out mean. I mean, just mean-spirited and hateful and all of that. Why? Because many times it's because of what's going on in their life, and they're not letting faith lead. They're letting feelings lead. So there's the danger of division. Number two, and another thing he's saying by that is, Peter, don't fall out with each other. Y'all love one another. You're going to need each other. That's what was the gist of that statement. You're going to need each other. And I'm just going to tell you straight up, I've heard preachers make such an ignorant, unscriptural statement to people when they're preaching, I don't need you. That's not scriptural. Can the foot say to another part of the body, I have no need of you? No, I'm telling you, I need you. I need you, and we need each other. Amen. Have you ever heard of the big redwood trees out in California? I mean, them things are so huge you can drive cars through them. They can cut out holes in them, Brother Carroll, and drive vehicles through them. Actually got roads going through them. But did you know? And I mean, them things many times will go several hundred feet high. But did you know they have very little root system? You would think if they go that high and they're that big that they'd have roots that would go 100 feet in the ground. But all of their roots is surface roots. You say, preacher, how in the world do they stand? They stand in groves. The roots of that one intertwines with the roots of this one and intertwines with the roots of that one and roots of that one and that one. And that one helps this one to stand. And when the winds are blowing and the storms are raging, the root system of that one is helping this one. And amen, alone, standing alone, it wouldn't take much of a windstorm to blow one of those big trees over. Oh, but because they stand together. Amen, because they stand together. And the roots as they intertwine together and they stand in droves, amen, you can handle the storms. 30 years of preaching, I've never used that illustration before till this morning. Wasn't planning on using it, it just came to my mind. Big, tall, but they can't stand alone. You take those around them away and they can't handle it. Amen. Hallelujah. I am largely what I am in the ministry because of the other trees at RBT that's standing with me and standing around me. Many times the wind be blowing in my life, Brother Clipper, and I draw strength from you. I look over at you and I see you not moving. Oh, that helps me. Amen. When I see you going through it and you're not falling over and quitting because you're drawing strength from me or you're drawing strength from another person, I want to tell you, amen. Divided we fall, but together we stand. Faith says, I need you. Amen. Boy, that's good, I thought. The second thing that's addressed here quickly is a remedy. Faith, the remedy of faith. Secondly, is not only it addresses the danger of division, but also the distraction from the Word. Now, I mentioned this last Sunday. The Lord showed it to me actually while I was reading here in the pulpit. When Jesus spoke in verse 33 that He was going away. And then He said to them, I've got a new commandment, and spoke verse 34 and 35. Peter, look at his address in 36. Now Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Brother Rob, that's the same topic that was being spoken of in verse 33. Peter never even heard verse 34 and 35. You know what happens when we don't have faith in our now? Not only are we in a danger of division, falling out with one another and getting away from God's people, but also, ladies and gentlemen, there's a possibility of a distraction where we don't hear God's Word when He speaks to us. How many times has God sent a message through that pulpit? Whether it be me or someone else, Brother Travis, and you were in your now, you was going through it, and your life was in shambles, and you had all a bunch of unanswered questions and unsolved problems in your now, and you never heard a word the preacher said. You know why? Because you sat right there, and I've done it too. I'm telling you, I've done it. Sat in a pew while the man of God's preaching, not a bit more listening, the man in the moon, sat there thinking about your problem. Peter, and they never even got it. Peter never even acknowledged that it was even said. You want your now to get big and take you under? You just allow faithlessness to come in your life, lack of confidence in your life in the Lord, to where you're distracted from God's Word. Let me give you this right here. Lord, help us. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what your survival is going to be? Your survival is going to be God speaking to you. When is the last time God spoke to you? You know what you have a tendency to do? Come on now, I'm preaching just right on your level because I'm one of you. You know what you have the tendency to do when in your now has got heartache and all of that going on in it? Close that blessed book, lay it on the shelf or leave it on the pew from week to week and not ever get in it. God spoke to them some very truths that they needed, but you know what? They never even heard it. They never even acknowledged it. They never even got it. A lot of my storms has went longer than God intended for it to be simply because I did not listen to God. Or what God spoke to me, I quickly forgot it. So there's a danger of division that's remedied by faith. There's distraction from the Word that's remedied by faith. Get this, you can write it down, at least in your mind. If what God says to you in your now don't mean much, then when He starts telling you about the afterwards, that won't mean much either. When he come into chapter 14, He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. That's afterwards. That's where we're headed. That's the big house that God's people are going to. And that won't mean nothing to you if what He's saying to you now don't mean nothing. Well, amen. So it's a remedy for the danger of division, the distractions from the Word. Verse 35, the remedy of faith deals with the display to the world. You know what Jesus is concerned with? And I'll explain what I meant by that. You know what Jesus is concerned with when you're in your now? That you be a good testimony to the world. A wrong response to your now will destroy your testimony. Look at verse 35. And by this shall all men know that you're My disciples. God said, I want you in your now to behave yourself in such a fashion that it is evident that to the world and to men that you're a child of God, that you're one of my disciples. But when you lose your faith and confidence, amen, and you start questioning spiritual things, you know what you're very subject to do? You may start living a way that will be a bad testimony on your church, a bad testimony on your preacher and on your family, amen, and a bad testimony above all on the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's sinners today that will not go to church. They have no confidence in church. Because people that maybe one time were in church, went through a now experience in their life, responded in the flesh, amen, fell out with God's people, amen, and started making choices that catered to the appetites of the flesh, destroyed their testimony, and sinners look at them and say, well, I'm not going to church. There's nothing to it. Look how they're living. That preacher I made reference to earlier, did he ever think of all the sinners that he's been trying to win for years and years and years in that area? Did he ever think about what it was going to do to them? Did he ever think about what that was going to do to the testimony of Christ and his church and his community that he had pastored in for probably 30-something years? No. That's what's behind a wrong response to your now, is you don't think. The devil can get you to where you don't think, then he'll get you to act in a way that's crazy and stupid. You'll make stupid decisions. You'll make stupid decisions. You'll throw your family out the window. You'll throw your church out the window. You'll throw your children out the window. You'll throw everything that's worth anything out the window. And there's many folk right in this building today can say amen to that. But faith remedies that. You know why? As long as you're living by faith, you're consciously aware, I don't want to bring a reproach to Christ. I want to be a good testimony that others can know that I'm a disciple of Jesus. And by the way, just an insertion here. Does people know that you're a disciple of the Lord by how you live and by how you love and by how you look? Can they tell that you're a disciple of the Lord? Anybody can backslide. Anybody can get in the flesh. Anybody can do that. I could, you could. I want to tell you what, we need folk in there now that'll stay with it. And faith is what'll keep you with it. Let me give you this and I'll be done. Not only a danger, remedy of faith deals with the danger of division, the distraction from the Word, a display to the world, but a denial of weakness. You know what verse 37 and 38 talks about? Peter said, Lord, I'm going with you. You can count on me, Lord. I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll die for you. Jesus said, you die for me? Peter, let me tell you what I know about you. Before the cock will crow three times, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. You know what Jesus is saying in the light of this context? Peter, the way you're responding to your now, you're going to deny me. When it comes time for you to stand for me, you're going to deny me, Peter. You better watch out in your now. When you're not letting faith lead, but you're rather letting feelings lead, you better watch out, because what'll happen right there is you'll have a deceived self-confidence that you'll think, I'd never get out of church. I'd never quit reading my Bible. I'd never quit praying. I'd never lay aside what I've lived for. Don't ever say never. Peter said, and he meant it. You know when he said that, Miss Shannon, he meant that. When he said what verse 37 and 38 said, he meant it. Lord, I'd die for you. But the Lord knew that Peter was not living by faith. He was living by feelings. That's why he fell apart when he got some unwelcome, unwanted, uninvited news. He fell all to pieces. Jesus knew he wasn't living by faith. He is living by feelings. And he knew that feelings will cave in when the pressure gets on. He knew it. Peter said, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'd lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Question mark. You mean that, Peter? You mean that? Let me tell you what you're going to do, Peter, because you're a feelings-oriented person. And he was. I'm so much like Peter, it's pitiful. And you are too. Come on now. I don't see no halos in the house. Feelings-oriented people will be up one day and down the next. Shouting on Sunday and pouting on Monday. Feelings-oriented people will stand and testify and then disappear. I love to hear testimonies. Listen, this may just be a preacherackling insertion right here. I love to hear testimonies, but unto God, I'd sure like to see something. And I do in several, but some I wonder about, amen, testify and then don't come back to church for a month. That don't do nothing for me except defeat me. Amen. For whatever that was worth, I had to get that off my chest. I want to start seeing something. And when you're a feelings-oriented person, you're going to be fickle and you're going to be frail and feeble and you're going to wobble on the shaft and not dependable. Why? Because if you feel good one day, you'll look good, act good, talk good. But if the next day you're down in the dumps and you're getting some news you don't want and things has happened you don't like, next thing you know, you're going to fall all to pieces and the end result is you're going to deny the Lord. When you live a carnal life, come on, amen. I thought I was done, but I am not done yet. Brother Travis, when a person lives a carnal, fleshly life, that is a lifestyle of denying the Lord. When you behave yourself in a fashion that puts question marks on your Christianity and question marks on you being a disciple, that is an effort in practice of denying the Lord. Can they tell by looking at you at the job that you're a Christian? Does anybody in your family have confidence in you? I had two sisters and a brother already grown this week said to me, preacher, I have no confidence in Daddy. In fact, the younger son, which is 20-something now, he said, preacher, there was a time I hated him. I hated my daddy, preacher. He said, I don't hate him now, but I have no respect for him. I have no confidence in him. Mama, on the other hand, I've got the utmost confidence. Does anybody have confidence in you at the house? It's one thing for folk to see something at church and hear something at church. But what about at the house? What about at the house? No, listen. You see these young people sitting up here? You see these young people up here? And God is working in many of their lives and others. But I want to tell you what's the truth. You know what's behind a lot of that? Their parents is with the preacher. I'd have no way to help these young people if I preach one thing and the parents would discredit it at the house.
That's right.
Preach one thing and the parents live another way at the house. Amen. But if you put a preacher and parents together as a team, I want to tell you God can work in the children. I believe that. So there is the remedy of faith that deals with the danger of division, the distraction of the word from the word, the display to the world, the denial of weakness, and then chapter 14, verse 1, the disturbance of worry. You believe in God? You know why your heart's troubled, Peter? You're not believing in me. Worry, you know, the world says, why believe when you can worry? Why pray when you can worry? I could probably write a book on it. We're all probably got a good degree in worry. We all know how to do that. But it's never good. It's never bettered my situation. It's never helped me spiritually.
Amen.
To worry. Amen. Somebody said there's a fine line between concern and worry. I hadn't figured out what all that is yet. Because I usually go over the line into the worry category. Concern, you believe in God. Worry, you're not believing God. I guess that's the line. Now and afterwards. What that's saying, Miss Paul Sue, if you'll be making your way. What that's saying there, the now and afterwards, is that life goes on. That's what I've been trying to preach. Life goes on. It's not the end. It's not over with. Life goes on in your life. There's an afterwards. Live for it. Live in the now for the afterwards. Boy, isn't that good? Wasn't that what Paul's talking about in Colossians 3? If you've then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set not, set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. You know what he was saying? While you're living right now, live in the light of leaving. Live for the afterwards. Because the afterwards is coming. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you so much for your attention. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll take the message this morning. Lord, there were some principles covered and dealt with this morning that I believe will help some folk if they get a hold of it today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And thank you for loving us enough to send us, Lord, a message. Dear Father, for this such a time as this to help us. Oh God, help us to know that there's an after these things, an afterwards, and it will come to pass in our life.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.